Welcome to a brand new episode of Pod by the Bay. I'm your host, Nathan Bond. Joined alongside me, Seth Barnador, Robert Steig. Guys, pretty big week for USF Athletics. On Saturday, they clinched the regular season title for men's basketball. Spring practice started for the football team. It seems not even that long ago that they had just wrapped up a 45-0 shellacking of Syracuse in the Boca Raton Bowl. And football's back, boys. Lots to discuss. Quickie episode this evening. Where do you guys want to start first? I'm gonna do a little podcast business, and then we'll kind of talk about everything else. BayAreaExaminer.com is now live. There are stuff that you can buy. There are mugs. There are cool t-shirts that we've designed with our logo on it. We've got a Buccaneer, a Gasparilla Bowl, a couple of different mug options, a Stay Paranoid t-shirt. I mean, we've got it all. And you're directly, supporting this website so we can send people like Robert Steig to the conference tournament next week. So that's really what it boils down to.
And we've got obviously got the merch side, which we'll be adding to that some stuff, I'm sure, and then also videos. If you're watching the videos, they come up there. And then it also links to the Substack, so you can go ahead and go right to the Substack from there, and links to the Patreon as well. So maybe not the Patreon, but that'll be on there soon. So it's your one-stop shop. And you could literally shop there and get some cool stuff. So,
yeah, absolutely. And just on Thursday morning, we did release a new article on the Substack from special guest Colin Sherwin discussing all things men's basketball and what this can mean for the university, what he's gone through, covering this program for almost 20 years. And what it can mean for the future and what Michael Kelly and the job that the folks behind the scenes have been able to do to get not just basketball, but the entire department heading on the right track. Head coach Alex Golish touched on it this week during his press conference, track and field is having success, softball, baseball just came off a Tuesday, Wednesday sweep up in Jacksonville, volleyball really, truly kickstarted this entire renaissance for this athletic department way back in the fall. So things seem to be trending in the right direction on that front for sure. So be sure to check that out on our Substack.
I got a question for you guys. We talked after kind of in between, I think Steve, it was just a Steve and iPod, about what's the team, what's going to be the athletic team of the year. Is it basketball by far and away? Like, is there any chance it's not men's basketball right now?
I think the only chance that I would give it to track and field, because what the men's track and field team did was nothing short of just dominance at the AAC indoors. If they have another repeat dominance performance across both track and field, it's very close. I know basketball gets all of the eyes, but man, they crushed it at the indoors. But I mean, right now it's gotta be basketball. I mean, like, this is unprecedented level of right. success, not just for the university, for any school. Like, that's like no one in the conference's history has had a win streak this long in conference play. Like, that's outstanding to me.
Yeah.
Not Houston, not UConn, none of them.
What's kind of fascinating to me, I think men's basketball is probably going to be the team of the year. We'll do our yearly awards at the end of the sports season after baseball and softball are all completed. And the category I'm most excited to kind of discuss when we get there is most surprising team, because there are some really good options. between volleyball, what they were able to do, obviously football, having a winning season, being competent on the field for the first time in 4 or 5 years, and now this men's basketball team who seems like they've just kind of even upped the level of what this program and the department can do. It's really exciting to see, and that's the competition I want to see play out. I don't think the teams left playing aren't, there's not a, the level jump is not high enough, the gap isn't high enough between where they normally are to where they could be, that they're just really not in the conversation. I think it's a three-team race between maybe even four: volleyball, football, basketball, track and field. I think those are your four options, and that's going to be a really exciting kind of a competition to see play out as we place our votes. And just unbelievable stuff. One more game for men's basketball before they head off to the conference tournament. Road trip to Tulsa we'll get into. I did want to probably start with football. Spring practice sprung on us pretty quick and kind of shockingly, just because basketball has been so fun. Usually we're waiting like, oh my God, please, football, football, please save us. Yeah. And it really wasn't the case. It was two separate sports, and now we're kind of fading out of basketball, but it's getting really exciting. Now football's kind of coming in. Did anything kind of surprise you from Alex Golish's press conference on Tuesday after their first practice?
I mean, not really. I didn't think he said much in terms of newsworthy things. It's first day. You're kind of, there's not going to be a ton in day one,
Right.
But just what we've heard through the off season, guys we've heard they think might be a factor. You know, he talked about the young guys coming in, and then we've heard those guys that came in for the bowl game, all looked really good and really took that, extra work and helped them. So maybe be on the lookout for those guys. But I'm interested to hear from him as camp goes on. You know, which young guys do you think are going to step up? Who's, is anybody, anybody new making noise? I did like hearing about, a guy like Petway, mentioned him, how, because when he came last year, we thought even though he was late, it would be a somewhat seamless transition for him because it was the same defense theoretically that he was right. The year before, but it wasn't that. And, he had flashes on special teams, some flashes where you get in late in games where he was decimating people. So, seeing him added to that linebacker competition more in full should be good. And, he did talk about, they had to go get a bunch on the back end, and they were, I think he said when they brought in DVD, he's like, hey, anybody that can play corner, we want to bring in. He's like, okay, cool. And it's like, well, not literally anybody, but just about. So yeah. So they went out and I think they understood what their weaknesses were last year, but I think we'll get more information as camp goes on, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll get a chance to get out there maybe and see some of it.
Yeah, I think the biggest revelation or thing that I found interesting was kind of the lead up to DVD getting to Tampa, right? And we kind of heard about kind of happened with Jack Taylor too, right? All right, maybe he's going to be the tight ends coach last year. Now, he's just quality control. Now he steps in. Same with DVD, like they tried really hard to get him, and then maybe Golish was a little loose, a little flippant with his words, but basically saying that DVD was like, hey, coach, I messed up. Let's get this thing together. And it seems like he's got an infectious personality. He's from Miami. He played at Miami. Like the dude, that's going to be a vital cog for this program going forward. The other thing is, man, they have a freaking type. And we've kind of talked about it. You got to be 6 foot, and a little lanky with some speed, and you'll be all right.
Yeah, long corners. So,
oh yeah.
And it looked like, you know, speaking of corners, like I think Tavon Ward may have made an interception or something like that in practice today. So I know he's a guy that played a ton and got picked on a little bit, but looks like he was going up against Jaden Alexis. Just looking at pictures, and you can see DVD running over to him, celebrating with him afterwards. So, yeah, they've got some guys coming back, but Golish did say there was a lot of competition at that spot, which you've got some guys coming back that played a lot, that got a lot of experience last year. Not all of it was great, but it was a helpful experience. And then you've got a bunch of new guys coming in. So hopefully if you can get that position improved and eliminate these explosives, you could be you could be better on defense. Let's couch it. You could be better.
Can I mention something that I was looking forward to?
Mm-hmm.
Very random. New numbers.
It's always I was just thinking. I was just looking at it. Nathan,
you and I are just Tweedledee and Tweedledum over here. I mean that's the biggest anticipation. I mean USF doesn't have the storied history of like single digit numbers like how Temple would or how some schools treat them. But usually it's a really good indicator if you're going to be a contributor this year or if they're expecting you to be a contributor this year, if your number is within 0 through 10, I would say, at least as far as the skill positions go. So some notable ones, Doug Blue Ellie has switched to number 0. That's fun. And true freshman Brandon Winton is also number 0.
Mm-hmm. He was one of those guys that was there for the bowl game.
Mm-hmm. And Ben Knox, Tavon Ward, 1 and 2 respectively. So very exciting. I think they really liked Tavon Ward last year, and Ben Knox, I think 2 years removed from an ACL injury, that might be fully mm-hmm. healthy and ready to go now. Purdue transfer wide receiver Abdur-Rahman Yassin, he's number 2 as well for the offensive side of the ball. Bryce Archie switched to number 3 in between throwing 95 mile per hour dots on the baseball diamond. What else? Kawan Powell's number 4. Nico Grammatica, number 7.
Can I
interject something here?
Yeah, please do.
We're watching, we've got to see old Effie Levy's presentation at the Nike Coach of the Year Clinic. And he did mention, you don't want to be putting special team guys on scholarship if they're not going to play. So.
Yeah, that's a thing.
So I believe Nico's on scholarship.
Yeah, he's a scholarship guy. And then finally, to kind of round out two more to round out the big changes. Leading tackler from last year, Jalen Schuler, he's number 7, and then Kelly Joyner switched from 3 to 8, which, whatever, just complete the circle.
Jalen didn't want to split those 17s with Byron Brown anymore.
Yeah, or put a poor freshman, Ronnie Hill. Poor Ronnie Hill's going to get confused with Byron Brown now.
Look at Byron Brown out there making a tackle.
Friend of the show, Jaquan Smith. I say that just because I talked about him so much. also switched to 19. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep.
So the roster's fully updated.
Marcellus Tate's number 14. Who else? Jonathan Echols, number 11. That seems to be like the big ones. But you mentioned Bernard Gooden. He's going to be able to play this year, which is just another body on the inside that has to help.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can't hurt. You've got 3 defensive tackles with single-digit numbers, which I love.
Mm.
Plus Jason Vaughn, number 4, who somehow still has eligibility. I've ceased to know how all of these things work. I was shocked that Chris Youngblood had an extra year because he's played for 4 seasons, but I guess that 2020-2021 season didn't count for him.
Let him count, baby.
I love the COVID stuff. My favorite is in Discord, we've been just going back and forth on like who can come back, who can't come back. And we were like, I know Jose Plessier cannot come back. There is literally no way he can. Everyone else, throw the hat in the ring. Maybe. They can go, they can stay. It depends on what they want to do.
Is shout out Jose getting drafted in the Puerto Rican NBA and Puerto Rican draft?
Yeah, right? He did. Sixth overall.
Basketball league. Yeah, look at that.
It's funny because like on my For You page on Twitter, like it popped up, but it popped up in Spanish. And so like I saw like obviously it had to do with USF, so it's a Jose Plessier from USF, and I was like, oh, but it was all in Spanish, and I was like, oh, whatever. It's probably like Jose Plessier playing well. And then like I went back to that tweet today after someone mentioned it in Discord. I'm like, oh, he got drafted. How fun.
Cool.
Someone needs to brush up on their Duolingo, bro.
I'm on German Duolingo. Yeah.
Well, that served no purpose for you. Absolutely. You have no German players.
Not yet. Women's basketball, I'm sure they're always looking. The female Dirk.
We haven't had any player from that part of Europe in like 6 years, I think.
Well, because you haven't learned German yet.
Yeah. Was the last? I don't think we've had a German player. Poland, yes.
We have Kidia, but she's. Oh, no good trivia. Good trivia question for the Ponderosa section.
No Fraulines.
She's a Kits from Latvia. Maria Jespersen was from Sweden, Poland. She's tall and blonde, which is, I just assume, Sweden, but I'm pretty sure she might be Poland.
Oh, she was Danish. Ooh.
Who, Maria?
Oh, wait, no, this is different. Wait, is it? No, that is a different one. That's a different Maria Jespersen.
I can't be right. How many of them are there?
It's like Jones over there. Jespersen.
Oh, we're getting way off the rails now. We're going.
Yeah, we are.
We're going women's basketball.
I got to figure this out. No, Denmark.
Oh, she was Danish? Perfect. Yeah. I was not. There's another Maria Jespersen, and she plays tennis then. Who would have thought? Yeah, wow.
All right. How about men's basketball?
No,
we gotta figure out if there's ever been a German female basketball player. That's what we gotta do.
Dober's from Serbia. He's out. I don't think there has been one, unless I'm just blanking on someone super.
I think you've nailed it.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I could just go straight to the horse and ask.
What an odd question. Like, you ever had a German basketball player? I'm learning German in Duolingo.
Just really looking up practice.
Like, okay, cool.
Yeah, trying to prepare for a conference tournament, Steve. Why are you messing with me right now?
I know you're not doing anything right now on a Thursday night. Quick question.
Let's see. Do we want to do a little short preview of Tulsa?
Sure. Yeah, I can do a really short preview.
They're bad.
They're not very good. PJ Haggerty uses more possessions than almost anyone in college basketball. He's top. He's 51st in the country. He uses 30% of their possessions. So he's shooting or involved in the play on 30% of their possessions. You stop him, I think you're in good shape. They cannot shoot the three. He cannot shoot the three. Go under every screen. And I think you're good. If you don't turn the ball over like crazy. So
I got a bone to pick with PJ Haggerty.
273rd and third 3-point percentage as a team.
What are they? USF under Brian Gregory?
A little better, sadly.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is better. I think by like a full 2%.
Yeah. But, you know, you look at their 201st in effective field goal percentage on offense. USF is 37th on defense. They turn the ball over a ton. USF turns people over a ton. They don't offensive rebound really well. Now USF doesn't defensive rebound really well. So that's kind of could be an equalizer. Neither team is good at rebounding. So if, you know, you have a repeat of the SMU game where you're getting beaten on the boards a lot, but, you know, a kind of normal distribution of rebounds, this should be a game you're pretty comfortable in, even though it is on the road.
Yeah.
This Tulsa team's gotten worse, I think, since the last time they played in terms of, like, ratings and as more stuff's come in. They're closer to 200. I think the first time they played, they were a little bit better than that. But right now on KenPom, they're 191st. USF is 83rd. Yeah.
They were 179 when they played USF the first time.
Yeah, so they've kind of been dropping gradually. So,
and thanks to them, USF hasn't moved since that December or that first matchup. I guess they moved up 112.
They were 112.
112. Yeah,
83. Nation's longest active win streak, fellas.
I mean. No one else has more than 10. And you look like, we get why USF's probably not going to make the tournament if they don't win out. And you look at like the longest active win streaks in the country, and you're like, oh yeah, I get it. Like Little Rock has won 9 straight. Like it's all the small conferences who the rest of them are not great. And if we're going to be frank here, the American has been not good this season.
I think the teams that were supposed to be really good have not been as good as people thought. Yeah,
no. Like which Charlotte would
have made up for the bottom.
Right. Charlotte and USF being a surprisingly good team would have helped if FAU and Memphis were also at the level they were supposed to be at.
Yeah.
And then you sprinkle in SMU and North Texas who are, you know, okay, but the bottom falls out with UTSA, Temple. Honestly, ECU, Rice, like it's
and Memphis was a little. I mean, what's interesting about them is they were kind of. I don't know what the thought was on Michigan at the time, but they played Michigan and Arkansas, both them early, and those teams have both kind of disappointed this year. So I wonder if those wins are somewhat inflated.
Right.
Now they did beat Clemson as well, who's done well, and Virginia, Texas A&M, but. You know, they kind of got the benefit of playing some teams with nice reputations early, and that kind of helped them a lot. But they've just been, you know, middling in the conference, really.
Yeah. They've kind of figured it out since the back-to-back losses to North Texas SMU. They've won 4 straight. They have FAU on Saturday to wrap it up before conference play. So. We've got that going for us.
This game is, in reality, it's fun to. Do you guys view this game as a free roll, basically?
Like Tulsa?
Yeah, because it doesn't matter if they win or lose, really. Seemingly,
I don't want to lose the streak to Tulsa.
I don't either. I think like having the ranking going in the tournament would be nice, and you may even move up a little bit more by the time the tournament starts. You know, you might be 23, 22.
I think
would be nice, but in terms of making the tournament, it's kind of a free roll, right?
Well, I in my opinion, and it's just the same thing in Survivor 2. You don't get complacent, even if you just know you can just walk the dog. For a night, you know, because the second you get complacent is the second that you let everyone else catch up. And I don't think Amir is the type of guy where he knows now. He's very much aware of it. He's online enough to know that there is a lot of talk about South Florida and the slim chances they have to make the tournament. And I don't think he wants to leave any doubt at this point. And I think a loss to Tulsa puts more doubt back into people's minds of an already slim chance at an at-large.
Yeah.
So don't risk it. Just win the next four games. Just don't risk it. You know, no, it's
not worth the risk. I guess my thing is like if somehow they played terrible and got upset, it wouldn't really change much.
Would it change? Yeah, it really wouldn't. Like
it would give people ammunition to say, "See, we told you so," which would suck. But if they won the conference tournament, that seems to be their only chance, according to everybody, right, which sucks. But you know, they say that now. But also, the thing about net that I think is not talked about enough is they're not looking at your net through the whole year. They wait till the end and then, okay, let's look at the net now. That's why, like, it's really the committee is really looking at the, you know, the selection committee the day they're making have to finalize everything. That's when net actually matters. So obviously it's better if you win and your best wins win all the way through the tournament. But it certainly seems like they're not going to be invited to the party for one reason or another unless they force their way in. So, you know, you'd like to win the rest of the games, but if you got to lose one of the next three or one of the next four, this is the one. So,
yeah.
Just win the next game.
You can do that. Just keep winning. Just, yeah. If you win the next game, the rest of the, if you just keep winning the next game, you'll be national champion.
Simple
That'd
as that.
That'd be cool.
It is simple as that.
With that said, we're going to wrap up this episode of Pod by the Bay, proudly presented by the Bay Area Examiner. You will have a Ponderosa episode this week as well. So be on the lookout for that. Tell your friends, BayAreaExaminer.com. Get all the merch that you want. Fun stuff. Seth. It's been a pleasure as always. Go Bulls.
Go Bulls.
Go Bulls. I tip my hat to you, gentlemen.